1125 of the Church Bibles. That's in chapter 15, verses 14 to 24. I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. I have written you quite boldly on some points, as if to remind you of them again, because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, with the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God, so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and miracles, through the power of the Spirit. So from Jerusalem all the way round to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. This is why I have often been hindered from coming to you. But now that there is no more place for me to work in these regions, and since I have been longing for many years to see you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to visit you while passing through, and to have you assist me on my journey there, after I've enjoyed your company for a while. I'm just going to pray for Mike as he comes up. Dear Lord, may Mike's words be acceptable to you, be pleasing, a pleasing aroma to you, Lord, and give him boldness to speak into our lives and to speak truth to us. Amen.
Thank you. It is a pleasure to be back here with you again. Time flies, doesn't it? For me it does. And it doesn't seem like 3 years ago since we were here last sharing with you. And as we were saying before, our roles changed. My role has changed a little bit since we were here last, from being a team leader of a church planting team now to trying to get more church planting teams in the area. And part of the role is going out to some of these areas. You might have seen some of the photos in the video. Some of it's really great. Some of it's really hard. So as we're doing one of these trips, I was taking around a few people to this particular area, and we thought, let's stop at this town, which was meant to be like this provincial or this sort of capital sort of city, I'll put it in inverted commas. So as we rocked up to this place, we found some accommodation. And as we try and do, part of the idea is to walk around, try and get a feel. You can't really get a feel of a place in a car or on the back of a motorbike. So you try and walk and meet the people. And after a little while, we were walking, we were just tasting some durian, which is a really nice fruit, which I'm sure many have tasted maybe. It does smell a bit. But as we're tasting the durian, this guy comes up to me and he starts talking to me. And I thought, well, that's great. I'm used to, it's really good to have conversations with different people. But after a while, this guy started asking specific questions. And I'm starting to get a little bit too specific. And I'm starting to go, getting a little suspicious. So I say, well, my name's Mike. Who are you? And he said, well, I'm with the intelligence of the police. And I go, okay, nice to meet you. And he said, I want to see all your paperwork. And at this stage, I'm starting to get, this doesn't normally happen. So I'm starting to get a little bit freaked out. What's this guy want from me? He said, where are you staying? And I said, I'm staying at this place. And so I said, I'll meet you there later on this afternoon. So we kept walking, and I SMS'd Fiona, and she SMS'd a few people in Australia, and people start praying, which is often a good thing because you're starting to feel a little bit nervous. So later on that afternoon, these, not one guy, but two guys from the police intelligence force of this particular town rock up to my accommodation and starts interrogating me, starts asking me all these questions, goes through every single page of my passport. And for the first time ever, I'm now on a religious visa because I'm lecturing at one of the Bible colleges. So I'm starting to get a little bit nervous. We're in this Muslim city. I'm on a religious visa with a church, and I'm taking these guys around. And so before we even got there, I said, look, I'm with a religious visa, and I'm lecturing, I'm just taking these guys around because he's going to read it anyway. And as soon as I said that, he showed me unbelievable respect, which was amazing. But for those 4 hours between that, I thought, we're going to go to jail tonight because I'm on a religious visa, I'm taking people around, I'm in this Islamic village, which is not a tourist place. And I thought, we're in trouble. And these sort of things make me question sometimes, why are we doing what we're doing with such huge risk? You know, I could be deported or something like that could happen. And we don't know what's going to happen on each of these trips. And every time I go away, things happen at home. And we just go, well, why do we do this? Why bother with mission? Doesn't matter. I mean, you know, why doesn't other people do it? Why should I do it? And it makes me go back to another missionary's prayer letter. And he's a quite famous missionary. But sometimes we forget that he is a missionary. And it's Paul and his letter to the Romans. This is a missionary prayer letter. And you might not think that, but look, let's have a look. Romans 15, if you've got your Bibles there, Romans 15, verse 24 states, I hope to see you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there, after I've enjoyed your company for a while. Paul's writing to the Romans, looking for assistance, looking for help as he goes out to Spain. This is part of what Paul's doing. It's a missionary prayer letter. And in this little section in Romans 15, 14 to 24, I think, we get four reasons why Paul says we should bother with cross-cultural mission, with going to places. Now, the first reason is found in verse 24. Paul recognises that partnerships are important to see the lost reached. Partnerships are essential. We do not do this work without partnerships. And he wants the Roman church to be part of this. So he asks them in verse 24 to assist him, to be supportive of the work. Not, and he's not backward in coming forward. He believes that everybody in the church should be involved in mission work in some way. Everybody. He believes that everybody in the church has been given different gifts by God, but all of those gifts should be used to see others reached with the gospel. Some people, God has given gifts, the desire and the abilities to go and leave their home countries and serve. But not everyone has this gifting, and that's okay. Paul doesn't ask everybody to pack up everything they've got and leave. He asks others to be involved in mission in other ways. He asks them to be part of this partnership in mission. And this is what our relationship with Margaret River Baptist. We are partners in the gospel. And Paul doesn't, he doesn't stop. He says, what does he mean by this partnership? He says he wants them to assist him on his journey. And he doesn't exactly tell us what this means. But I believe that Paul wants us as partners, he wants people who are here or the Roman church to help him in any way that is possible to keep him doing the work out there. Now, a lot of us straight away think of finances. Well, that's one part of it, yes, but that's not all there is in partnering. It's prayer. Paul's looking for prayer. He's looking for encouragement. He's looking about working together, just communicating and just being in this together. That's what he's asking them to do. And he says one of these things at the end of verse 24. He says he wants to enjoy their company for a while. And I think that's really great, isn't it? It's not just about flying in It's about getting to know people. He wants to sit there. He wants to get to know them. He wants to spend time with them. He wants to laugh with them, have a meal with them. He wants to be mutually encouraged by them. Because partnership is about relationship, isn't it? It's about relationship. And that's why we're here. And we're not just here this morning. I'm hoping to come to a Bible study sometime. It's all about building relationship with our partners. And that's what Paul wanted to do, because partnership is important. It's a biblical concept. And we're a body of Christ, aren't we? Some people go out, some people stay. It's part of the body. And we couldn't do what we do on the mission field without your help. We couldn't do it. We couldn't survive. Could you imagine if we tried? I could be arrested. The hardships would be too hard. Without prayer, without your tireless prayers, we can't do this. And it's about partnership, and together we can do it. It's you and us together going out there. Okay? I don't want people to forget that it's together that we do it. It's not just us. It's together as the body of Christ, with Margaret River Baptist, with all the people who are the body of Christ. We go out together to see the world reached. So we need to keep on doing it. That's why mission is important. Because together as partners, we do it. We go out to see the lost reached. That's the first reason. The second reason, look at Romans 15, verse 14 and 15. I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. Yet I have written you quite boldly on some points to remind you of them again. So here's Paul. He's heard of the Church of Rome. It's a great church. They're really smart. They're instructing one another. They're really good. They're nice people. But he says, yet, what does he need to do? He needs to remind them of something. What does he need to remind them of? 14 and a half chapters. What does Paul remind them of in the 14 and a half chapters? It's the message of the gospel. Paul says, I need to tell you how everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I need to tell you that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Paul says, I need to tell you that I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, nor the present, the future, the powers, height, depth, anything in all creation is able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I need to tell you that you need to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. And this is all based on this one beautiful verse in chapter 1, where he says, the gospel is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. The gospel is the power of salvation to everyone who believes. And that's a great verse. You think about that verse. It is the power of God's word, the gospel, that changes lives. It's not because of some action. It's not because of what I do. It's the power of God's word that changes and that saves people. Over the last couple of years, we've been rolling out a new training scheme, and it's been a really great church planning technique. There's always something new coming out, but I really like this one because it's based on the word. And basically, it's called a Discovery Bible Study. It's getting people together, Muslims together, to study God's word even before they believe. So we find them and we gather them together and we start reading from Genesis together. And it's a really great way to see people, because it's not us who saves people, it's the word. So we had one of these trainings, and shortly after one of these trainings, one of our nationals did the training. We had a real breakthrough, and this breakthrough was with one of our nationals. Let's call him Puck Rolo, okay? And he was going out, and he met this guy named Puck K. And he met him, and this guy, Puck K, was a witch doctor. Okay, it's the closest translation I can get. Witch doctor, sort of Okay, you know what I mean? So he's a really wise guy. But he, you know, he's in the spirit world and, you know, he's that sort of stuff. And the guy said to him, it's really nice to meet you, but I really want to be your friends, but don't interfere with my life. Okay? And Rollo, the church planter, said, that's okay. I don't want to interfere with your life. But it wasn't long after that that Puck K had a dream. In the dream, he saw a visitor coming the next day. In that dream, he was said that this person would give him the truth to set him free. And you can see what's going to happen here, don't you? Guess who rocks up the next day? Our national worker, Puck Rollo. He comes with another church planter. And Puck K, he doesn't want to talk to them. He wants to hear the word of God. So he says, can you come back and teach me the word of God? Because I had a dream which tells me that I need to learn about God. So the next day he goes back with his church planter with a Bible and they sit down together. But guess what? It's not just Puck K. Puck K's invited all his friends and relatives. They're all there. Feeling a little bit nervous there, the old church planter. But he went anyway and he starts telling them and reading the word of God together. And one of the guys said to them, one of the relatives said, well, what does all this mean? And Puck K, the witch doctor, says it means that Jesus is the Son of God. And there's nothing that the church planter did. There's nothing that we did. It all comes back to the gospel. The gospel is the power which saves people. And it's because this is why we do mission. I don't do mission to enjoy myself. I do mission so people can hear about the word of God and that they can hear and that God can transform people's minds. That's why we do mission. That's the second reason why we should bother with cross-cultural mission. Because it is the power of God which brings salvation to everyone who believes. That's reason number two. So first one, partnership. Reason number two, because it's about the word of God, it's the salvation, brings salvation. The next reason is about the glory of God. And I said to my wife, I said, what's glory mean? It comes up, because that's a Christian word, glory, doesn't it? You think, does anyone know what glory means? Glory. It's one of those. So I did what every good Bible teacher does, do a Google search. So I just got this off, I think, Pages, and it says, glory, high renown or honour won by notable achievements, magnificence or beauty or praise and worship and thanksgiving offered to God. So that's what glory means, giving renown, giving someone the honour or worshipping that person. All right. So the third one's giving glory to God. And how do we do this? Look at verse 16 with me. This one was a bit confusing when I first looked at it, but it's really great. So let me read it. Verse 16, he gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God. He gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God. But what does that offering acceptable to God mean? What's this got to do with God's glory? And it all points back to the Old Testament ritual sacrifice stuff where they would offer an animal. Okay, so they killed an animal so they will cleanse the priest or the people so that they are then acceptable to God. Basically, it's the Old Testament style of worship, isn't it? This is what it's about. Offering sacrifices was worship. But the Gentiles couldn't do it. They weren't allowed to go in. They couldn't worship God at all. Gentiles could not worship God. They couldn't be cleansed. But God knew it wasn't always going to be that way. Isaiah 66 verse 20 says, so our prophet Isaiah says, the Jews will proclaim my glory among the nations, and they will bring all your people from all the nations to my holy mountain in Jerusalem as an offering to the Lord. And here we have Paul fulfilling that prophecy. Paul, the Jew, proclaiming the gospel to the Gentiles. And now, because of Jesus, they can be offered as a sacrifice, clean. Because of this, because of what Paul done, because of what Jesus did, now the Jews, the Gentiles, could worship God. They are giving glory to God. Their lives as followers of Jesus were an act of worship. And this is the primary reason, one of the main reasons why mission exists. Mission exists where worship doesn't. And that's why, I'm not sure if you noticed the video song, Mission's Flame. we worship. We want to see people worshiping God, giving the glory to God. And remember that beautiful picture in Revelation. What's happening in Revelation? All the tribes and nations around the throne, not just Margaret River, not just Busselton, not just Australians, but Indonesians, Cambodians, people from all around the world, the Hindus, the Muslims, they're all going to come. They're going to see people from every tribe and nation. Can you imagine that? It's going to be beautiful. And we're a part of that. We are a part of that. It's all about being, seeing God glorified. And what I love about this passage as well, Paul hammers it home, it's all about God and it's nothing to do with me. Nothing to do with it. Paul doesn't want to receive any praise and glory at all. Look at verse 15. He says, I do this because of the grace of God that God gave me to be a minister, to minister of Christ Jesus. You've got to remember who Paul was. He was the worst person to be a missionary, wasn't he? What was he doing when he was called by Jesus? What was he doing? He was killing Christians. Could you imagine that? The very guy that God wants to use to reach out to the Gentiles was killing Christians. He is no way worthy of taking the gospel. It's because of the grace of God. It's all about the grace of God, and it gives glory to God. It's all about God's work. It's all about God's glory. And secondly, this passage says that Paul hasn't done anything himself. Verse 18. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the powers and signs and wonders through the power of the Spirit of God. Christ is the one who does it. Paul doesn't even see himself as a partner with God. Paul sees himself as an instrument which God can use. We can't boast. Paul doesn't boast. We can't boast in what we do. It's all about God's glory. It's what God is doing through Paul. It's what God's doing through us. We are unworthy. And let me tell you, I actually taught at Margaret River High School as well. I don't know whether people remember that. I taught at Margaret River High School for a couple of years. I taught at Busselton Senior High School for 8 years as a music teacher. I'm just a normal guy. I'm not a super person. Fiona was a midwife at Bunbury Hospital. Before we did this, we enjoyed our lives. We worked, quite happy to have a house, do the Australian thing, have a couple of kids, which turned into four kids once we went overseas. All right, well, we're in Australia now too. All right, so we were just doing it. And then God did this bad thing. He spoke through his word in Ecclesiastes. He said, Mike, now's the time to give it all up. Sell it all up, go to Bible college. And tell you what, I did a Bachelor of Music. I was the worst student ever. I was looking at my transcript the other day, we're unpacking. I'm going, oh man, pass, pass, just pass. I didn't do any work. Honestly, it was by the grace of God I passed that degree. And I said to Fiona, God's calling me to go to Bible college. And she said, okay, that's got to be God, because I know that you don't like studying at all, Mike. So God sent us to Bible college, and we did it. We did it. And when we're at Bible college, we go, where do we go? Where do we go? And he's called us to one of the most unreached people group areas. In our area, there are 46 unreached people groups, or UPGs. 22 UUPGs, they always add a new one on, unengaged unreached people groups. And we can't do this by ourselves. We're just normal people. Normal people. God called us out of his grace to do his work. He works through us to see this job done. We can't do it in our own strength. As we're saying, lots of things happen. We can't do this. It makes us push back onto God, relying on God. But God uses ordinary people. He uses people like you and me. And people say to me, well, Mike, you know, I can't do this. I said, well, great. You are the very person that what God wants over in the mission field, because you cannot do this by yourself. You can't do mission work. You can't do anything, because it's only through God's power. And that's what God wants. And if you're saying to me today, Mike, I really want to go to the mission field, but I can't do this for him, let me tell you, I'm going to say, what's stopping you? Because trusting in God, you can be a huge influence anywhere in the world. And that's young or old. Would love to see people who are retired over in the mission field. Imagine the wealth of experience and spiritual help they can help the younger people. It's all about getting it done. Because it's not about us being glorified. It's about God being glorified. And through weak vessels, God will see this job done. That's why we should bother with mission. It's all about the glory of God. The last reason why we should bother with mission is that there are so many people who have had do not have one single person there to tell them about Jesus. Look at verse 20 with me. Paul says, "It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation." He wants to go where there is Christ is not known. He wants to go to places where there is no worship of Christ at all. He wants to go and tell people about Jesus. And that's what Paul's gift was. He was a church planter. He wanted to go to the lost nations of the world. He didn't want to go to the places where there was already a witness. Why couldn't he go to Rome? He wanted to go to Rome. Why couldn't he go? Because Rome already had a church. So he had to go through Rome and go to Spain, because Spain, there was no one there telling about Jesus. Now, what does that tell you? Where do we need to go? Part of my job was going to these unpleached places. I went with Grant and a few other people from North Beach to a small island, and there was a lot of violence in this island before. So it's 50-50 at the moment, Christians and Muslims, and it's a lot. Okay. So we went there, and as we're there, it's funny, we're driving in the car, and the driver's saying, "This is where the Christians live." And then he said, "Right there, that's where the Muslims live." And I said, it was very definite. "And never the twain shall meet, Christians and Muslims." Okay? The tension there is unbelievable. I said, "Can you take us to this place?" "Oh no, I can't go there." I said, "Why can't you go?" "I'm scared." The people in this city, the Christians, will not witness to them at all. Will not. They are scared. But we went in as Westerners. I went in with Grant and a few other guys, and we went straight into a Muslim place, to where they live, into their villages, and we were sitting down and we were chatting with them, talking. They were so open to us. They were so open. They're open to Westerners. But there's not one Westerner who's going to go there at this stage. So at this stage, there are millions of Muslims in that city that are just going to go to hell until we can get more people. We have this treasure in jars of clay. We have the gospel. Yet there are so many people who don't have that chance. And it's a question which I want to ask. What are we going to do? We are partners. But if God's calling you to go out to tell one of these Muslims about his love, don't say, "I can't do that." You say, "God, show me how to do it." There is so many people. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And that's what gives us the last reason. There are so many people who don't know about Jesus. So I ask you, will you be one? So there are four reasons this morning I've given you. Four reasons we should bother with mission. Number one is because it's partnership. It shows the body of Christ working together to see this job done. And that's what we are together. Number two, it brings salvation. It's the power of God. The gospel is the power of God for salvation. That's why we should bother with it. It brings salvation to everyone who believes. Number three, it shows us that God uses us as weak vessels to show his glory. As a result, people from every nation and tribe will be worshipping him on the last day. And fourthly, because God loves the lost. He loves the lost of the world, and he wants them to hear of his love. So my question is, how will you respond to that message this morning? Partner with us. go out, be part of this amazing opportunity where we can just travel, 3 hours flight to Indonesia and share with others the love of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just are so thankful for you. I think of how you saved me and others here. We were the worst of the worst. We ignored you for years, but you persisted with us and you caught us and you saved us. And I pray, Lord, that you will be with those who are out there serving right today in Muslim cities around the world. Help them to be bold. Help open up more Muslims' minds to the truth of your word. And I pray, Lord, that you will help us to continue to pray for those workers, that you'll help us to partner with them, that you'll help us to remind them about your glory, and this task is worthwhile doing. So I pray, Lord, that we can do this to the best of our ability. And Lord, if there is anyone here today who feels your calling to be involved as a cross-cultural missionary, that they will not, that you'll give them the strength to stand up for you this morning. I thank you and I praise you for your love, Jesus, because of your love, we have a reason to live. So I thank you and praise you for Jesus. And I pray that you'll bless us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.